I'm just checking the room tone. And it looks good.
Running and triathlon, like, that was never, ever, ever part of my identity growing up. But I always admired athletes. I want to feel what 15 miles feels like. I want to feel if 15 miles feels different than 13 miles.
That was Lori Mazur. And this is Marnie Salop. Thanks for tuning into my podcast. Marnie on the Move is a podcast series of my unique spin, showcasing individuals from my curated network of friends and contacts. Hi, everyone. It's Marnie Salop. Thanks for tuning into my podcast, Marnie on the Move. Each week, I will be inviting interesting, innovative movers and shakers to join me on the show and share their story. You will discover and hear from thought leaders, experts, influencers, and entrepreneurs from the worlds of wellness, sports, beauty, fitness, fashion, and more. Marnie on the Move will feature an eclectic mix of people I know, work with, and think are generally doing cool things. On each episode, I sync up with my guests about life, career, and training, and showcase their expertise and story. We have a super exciting lineup from professional athletes, beauty and wellness founders, fitness entrepreneurs and experts, renowned fashion designers, media pioneers, technology innovators, and so much more. You will find that all of my guests share a love of exercise and wellness, which is pretty much everyone I know. Whether they are Olympic or elite athletes, recreationally training for a triathlon, marathon, or 5K, or boutique fitness lovers, they are motivated and empowered by training, exercise, and wellness, and have a workout or routine that fuels them for life, just like me. I have been building brands, companies, and personalities, shaping, marketing, and communicating their stories for over 20 years. I'm also a triathlete, a runner, windsurfer, and a yogi. As the founder of brand development, marketing, and public relations company, The Salop Group, and co-founder of fitness, health, and wellness company, Fit Plus Love, I have built strategies and launched campaigns across beauty, fashion, entertainment, sports, media, tech, and wellness industries throughout the years. I am also a proud dog mom of Thor the Party Schnauzer, Charlie the Australian Labradoodle, and co-mom to 9-year-old superstar Elle Mazur, and almost married to the fabulous Lori Mazur, who will be joining me on this episode to talk about a few of our favorite topics, triathlon, nutrition, and vacation, and her long and painful road to watching me try to launch this podcast. I have been talking about hosting a podcast for over a year and have been testing out equipment, studios, editing programs, production companies, and finally decided to just do it a year later, which is the equivalent of just do it in Marnie code. I am sure that my friends who are listening are laughing because it takes me a year to pick a new phone, a computer, a bike, an office. Typical MS style. I have to overanalyze everything. It's not just record it into your iPhone and host a podcast. It's what's the plan? What's the strategy? I need to put together an editorial calendar. And if there's one thing I've learned from all of my triathlons and race training, too much thinking and not enough moving forward can be dangerous. Taking this advice, I did it. I finally carved out the time in my schedule to do one more thing I love. I can't promise technological perfection at the onset, but the content will be compelling and my guests inspiring. As an avid podcast listener, I tune in as often as possible on my long runs, trainer rides, in between meetings, when I travel. I find podcasts to be super efficient as a method of learning, laughing, whichever I'm in the mood for. I love hearing interesting stories and connecting with new people, learning new things, which is how I got to this podcast. I could talk to people all day, ask them tons of questions about everything and anything, and genuinely enjoy the conversation. I decided to start this podcast as a platform to showcase and share a cross-section of people that I know that I think are doing interesting things and have great stories, insight, tips, advice on whatever it is they do. Marnie on the Move is a podcast series of my unique spin, showcasing individuals from my curated network of friends and contacts. My philosophy, just in case you're wondering, because I plan to ask everyone what their philosophy is the more I do, the more I can do. And I mostly do what I love. I hope you enjoy listening. Thanks for tuning in. Over and out. Right now, we are going to talk to Lori Mazur and do a little bit of a race debrief because Lori and I just finished our last half Ironman of the season where we went to Austin because we have been, well, I have been trying to avoid cold weather races, mostly because I hate swimming in cold weather. I also kind of hate swimming, but definitely don't love it in cold weather. And isn't it ironic that we flew all the way to Austin from New York and it was 40 degrees? That was awesome. So we're going to do a little race debrief. So hi, Lori. Thanks for coming and sitting at the table with me and doing this podcast today.
Hi, Marnie. I feel so honored to be your first podcast guest. I have always been the beneficiary of you asking me a lot of questions, starting with the day that we met.
What was that like?
I don't think I really got to know very much about you other than the fact that you ask a lot of questions because you just kept drilling me with more and more questions. I do remember that you found out that I was allergic to animals, which I quite enjoy because I think you thought I was allergic to eating animals.
Yeah, I was kind of excited about that.
Yeah, you were really excited because you also have some food allergies and you thought maybe I was like one of your kindred spirits. Turns out that I was allergic to actually being around animals. And fast forward 4 years later, and we have two dogs, and our daughter just asked if she could bring home the class bunny.
That was awesome. I don't think I've ever laughed so hard in my life.
No, not
I nearly all. Fell off the couch just because, I mean, we literally just got this puppy like 5 days ago.
Yeah.
When we were in Austin. So back to that race debrief. How was the race for you, Lori?
Oh my gosh. So I had such a great race, and I feel like this is such a great topic for your listeners because we couldn't be more different of athletes. You are super fast in racing, as you are with just about everything in life.
And except making decisions about podcasting.
Except making decisions, which is an interesting thing for us to explore. I, on the other hand, very quick to make decisions, including that we should do this race, and very slow to the finish line. I quite enjoy just taking my jolly sweet time. And for me, just finishing the race is an accomplishment enough. So.
But you don't take your time in the swim because you pretty much crushed it.
You know, swimming's my easiest sport, probably because I've been doing it the longest and I feel very, very comfortable in the water. But it wasn't my best swim race. If I had trained a little harder for the swimming, I probably could have cut a good 5 to 10 minutes off my swim. I kind of peaced out on swimming this winter. For some reason, it was just like really hard to get in the pool. Swimming is a big commitment. You have to get there, you have to get in the pool, you have to do the workout, you have to dry off. And so trying to fit that into your day when, you know, you wake up in the morning, you're trying to get kids to school, you then have a bazillion meetings, and you have to at least look presentable when you're in person with people.
Right.
Yeah, that's tough. So I think maybe that's one of my goals for this year is to get back into my swimming. And
you felt good about the swim though, in general.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you don't really get to swim long distances in open water on a regular basis, right?
So it's a really great opportunity.
It's a great opportunity. So even if, I mean, it was freezing cold when we started, as you well recall.
Yeah, we went to Target and got Uggs. And I actually was so thankful that I brought my ski jacket. And we went to Mellow Johnny's and bought wool Castelli socks and all kinds of fun stuff. And then we gave it all away. It's too bad there wasn't anything like the marathon where you could donate it.
Absolutely. So, you know, they say, leave it all on the course. We left it all on the course, including the gear that we wore before we got in the swim. And people were so jealous. We had like warm wool hats.
I know.
We had warm socks and we had these hand warmers.
Right. That it's a cue from your skiing days.
Absolutely. So like I've always loved skiing because I love being out in the cold weather, but feeling super warm. I've mastered the bundling up. We were pretty comfortable before the swim. It was just after the swim that things started going really downhill.
How did you eat anything in transition, or how was your transition back onto the bike after it was so cold outside?
That's such a great question. I usually do a gel because you come out, and personally after the swim, I'm usually starving. And in fact, I think I get hungry like the last 500 meters. But I think I was so focused on bundling up so that I wasn't going to freeze on the bike that I don't remember eating anything in transition. I think I just like got onto the bike and I took, it was like a 10-minute transition. And then at that point, I had this like EFS, which I put in my water. So I would just started drinking my fuel that way. And then I had a bunch of bars broken up that I just started eating like every 15 minutes. I probably could have used a couple of gels on my bike.
So I found the bike to be super hard. I don't know why. It was maybe because I didn't have the right nutrition or, I mean, but I didn't feel hungry and I felt good, but I just felt like it was very hard. There was a lot of wind. I was thawing for the first 30 minutes out of the water. Absolutely. I think I went into hypothermic shock, or at least I think I did. I know I said, I think I did. You know, the last 500 meters of the swim, I thought I could see the finish line, but I thought for sure I was going to drown because my legs were starting to hurt and my fingers were numb and my toes were numb. And then my tongue got numb and I wasn't sure if it was like, in my head or if it was real. And so, you know, doing a half Ironman still had, you know, a couple miles ahead of us. So yeah. I was just like, I really want to finish this. And so I literally don't even remember getting out of the water or getting on the bike.
Yeah.
And that's clear from my transition time. That was like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I found the bike to be really hard. I found it to be super challenging from the weather and then the wind, and the roads were like, I don't know. It was like riding on the streets of New York City.
Yeah. I mean, I think the physics of the race were really hard. I mean, you don't realize the difference that a good, smooth road makes to your riding and your momentum and your ability to keep up inertia. And love to think about the science behind things. But you could definitely feel it in that race because the roads were so bumpy, and particularly on the downhills, you couldn't get up that speed on the downhills to make the uphills easier. So you'd get to the bottom of the hill and then, you know, you were pedaling hard from the moment you hit the uphill. Yeah, it was a really challenging bike. I think also, you know, for us, this was the first time we traveled with our bikes. And it was the first time we'd ever ridden this course. You know, we're used to doing races locally where we get the opportunity to ride the course a few times before the race, or we've done the course a couple of times already. This was like a totally new experience for us. And so my guess is that if we were to do it again, we would probably pace ourselves better. We'd know the course better. Like we'd be able to be more strategic about how to ride.
Yeah, I think despite the fact that it was freezing, I actually liked the swim, which I can't really say about a lot of swims. I just, you know, I was nervous there would be weeds in the water or some kind of like algae outbreak or snake monsters. Like it was totally clear. And I mean, the water wasn't clear. Like I couldn't see anything. I kind of would rather not see anything. I like their new rolling start. So you can pick the time, that you get in the water. And then you don't need to worry about some like 5-1, you know, 5-4, 5-5. I mean, you don't need to worry about some like 6-5 giant 200-pound guy like swimming on top of you.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice.
So like, speaking of guys, so this is one of the things I found most interesting because people picked the length of time they thought they were going to finish in. It was a completely mixed race in the swim. Usually the men will go first or the women will go in waves by age group. But here it was a mix of men and women. I think, you know, that starts to stratify when you get into the bike, especially because, you know, the men just tend to be faster than the women. But in the swim, you know, I was racing alongside men. In fact, I think in the finisher pictures, like I'm coming out, I'm the only woman among like three men. Like, that's a good feeling.
I think it's good because men are typically super strong. Well, not typically, but like some of the men that do these races are very strong. But yeah, no, I noticed that a lot on the bike. And it's interesting because there were so many men in my wave. None of them were like up front saying like, I'm going to be the fastest. The women were up front and the men were like in the back kind of hanging out. And I'm like, wait, all these guys think that they're going to take like 40, 45 minutes to swim?
definitely a leveler. And, you know, my sense is that a lot of people come to triathlon because they either, you know, are really strong on the bike, which tends to make or break the race.
Yes. Like, I think if you're not a strong cyclist, you're not going to win.
You're not going to win. You got it. You have to be strong on the bike. You just can't make up the time in either the run or the swim.
You can kind of make up the time in the run. You have to be a fast runner.
Yeah.
I mean, I've tried both. I've tried to be a strong cyclist and really push it on the bike, but then I lose time on how fast I can do the run.
Absolutely. We were kind of going through like a lot of data and statistics about the different races, and there's like...
Oh yeah, because we're planning our races for 2018 now.
We are. So there's like an efficient frontier between how much you push yourself on the bike and how fast you can go on the run. So I'm really curious to find my personal efficient frontier this year. I feel like last year, Timberman was my first triathlon. I really thought I was going to die on the run. I took a lot of walk breaks. I walked through the like water stations. I was just struggling. And I remember getting to the end and thinking, I am never doing this again. This feels really good to have finished. And like, I'm going to put this one to bed. Yeah. So like after Timberman, I was kind of exhausted. I was done. I peaced out on training for, you know, probably 3 months and then started building back up again for the season. This year, I was like, I'm going to finish this run. I'm going to finish the run strong. So I felt really good about my run time, but I probably didn't push it hard enough on the bike. And so I feel like it's such a difficult judgment call to make. How much you should push yourself. And
especially if you don't know the course, even though we drove the course the day before, it's hard to tell.
Certainly you can like look at your training. Like I've been training to FTP this year. First time using power and using a power meter. Thank you very much for my great holiday gift this year. You know, so I think there's a certain extent that you can rely on the numbers and you like set your targets and you go. Like you can set your targets with your FTP, you can set your targets with your heart rate. But then there's like the whole adrenaline factor that kicks in. And, you know, you either go out too strong and then you're like, oops, was I overconfident? And you burn out, kind of like at least I did in the Bronx 10-mile race this year.
Oh, yeah. That was a disaster for me. Even though I went fast afterwards, I was like literally on a lounge chair by the pool at Chelsea Piers, like passed out praying for the pain to go away.
Total fail. I think we were at that point.
Well, we went to bed at like 4 a.m. or something the night before.
We think we got very little sleep. Absolutely. We also, I think we did a 4-hour bike, at least a 3-hour
the day
bike
before,
ride.
We were training for the 70.3.
Yeah. So we intentionally were like setting ourselves up for failure on the run. I just started out way too fast and I was running probably what would have been my normal half marathon pace. And I just like hit my wall at mile 7. And I had to walk. I've never walked in a running race before, but I like literally had to stop and walk for like 4 miles. It was crazy. But you know what? Good lesson learned, because then for the next 5 weeks, I trained like a maniac on my running.
Yeah,
like,
you did really great on the running. I saw you on the run. I loved finishing the race with you. That was so much fun.
I know. So this is good. So we learned that if you start 20 minutes after me, then we can finish together.
Right. So what's next for us? What do you think now that you're in charge of planning the race schedule?
Ha ha ha. So I mean, you and I we've been talking a lot about just marathon as a category.
Oh my God. That's where I have the amnesia, because we said that when we were watching the marathon on Sunday.
Yes.
But now I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. So I have like such mixed feelings. I think I'd love to hear where you're at with like thinking about marathon, because in my opinion, it is a completely different sport. I have never run more than 13 miles. And personally, every time I run 13 miles, I am done at mile 12 and I like can eke out the extra mile. I feel like I'm on a bit of a long distance running roll. Knock on wood, for me, it's just really hard to stay healthy throughout the entire training season. Like there's usually at least one period of time where like something breaks on my body and I have to step back.
That sounds like,
and, like reevaluate.
Most athletes.
Yeah.
I'm sure my athlete friends that are listening to this are like cracking up, because
this is where I'm at. I don't know if I actually want to do a marathon as a race, but I definitely want to build up a few longer distance training runs on the weekend. Like, I just want to, I want to feel what 15 miles feels like. I want to feel if 15 miles feels different than 13 miles. And then if I can feel 15 miles, then like maybe I do 17 miles. And then I feel like once you're there, then you might as well be training for a marathon. I have to break that mental barrier of 13.
It's interesting that you say that because I can't imagine running for more than 2 hours.
Yeah.
In my mind, you know, I'm like, what's next? Which is what I love about triathlon is that just when you're at your wall, you get a different thing to do. And then you just like reset. But at the same time, I do really love running. I mean, that is like my favorite sport of all the sports. I've been running years now. I feel strong as a runner and I feel like I could do some speed training and really ramp up on my running. And I just always, it always gets sidetracked by triathlon. And I really feel like I've been looking for a coach who can kind of work with me to focus on the running and get me faster while getting me ready for triathlons. They're different sports. So there's nothing similar except you actually run while doing a triathlon. So I totally get it. But what I was thinking the other day was that if I was going to do a marathon, of course, I would want to try to qualify for Boston and do New York City since we live here. And it's such an amazing race. I have to do it in under 4 hours.
Yeah.
Like between 3.5 and 4 hours. That would mean that I really have to train. Like I can't just do the typical download of a program and like follow the directions like week by week, day by day. I have to get like a serious coach to like kick my ass. And so I thought, why not start by doing half marathons for the next 6 months, one a month, just to see how I feel. And if I can keep up the half marathon distance as a base, like as my normal run. So sort of similarly to what you're saying, it would be nice to kind of get my half marathon below it. I mean, it already is below 2 hours, but on the regular, you know, not only during a race, but anytime I go out and run that distance. And then if I can get that down to probably like 1:45, and of course I'm not a coach and I have no idea what I'm talking about. If I can get my half marathon pace down to like 1:45, which is 15 minutes, which I kind of think I could do, then I could revisit the idea of doing a marathon in the fall of next year. But that would totally affect our triathlon training.
I have had similar, but obviously different speed goals. So for me, it's under 5. Like I just couldn't imagine spending more than 5 hours on my feet. Now, it takes me over 7 hours to finish a half distance triathlon. So I'm not worried about being able to work out for that long. But for me, it's the like feet pounding and just like, am I going to be able, like, is my body going to be able to take that much of one thing for 5 hours. What I learned this year was that I really have to slow myself down and I have to accept the slowness because it's so important to get the distance in. I think when you're in heavy training mode, and especially when you're training for a triathlon and you're doing so many different things, like your body is so fatigued, it is unrealistic to be expecting yourself to be running at what's going to be your goal pace for your long runs. Like I'm normally running like somewhere between 10:15 and 10:30 for half marathon. I've slowed myself down to run the half marathon at the end of the triathlon to like a 12-minute mile. I feel like a grandma. I feel like it wasn't until I got to that point where I accepted that I could go slow that I was able week after week to put in the 12 miles. I think before I would like push myself so hard, I'd do my long run and then I'd collapse. And then the next week I'd just be too exhausted to do the long run again. You know, I think it's like a matter of accepting the slowness in your training, because then if you really do rest before your race, it's amazing how your body can perform.
So what are we thinking for our next races, like next summer?
So,
and that leads into vacation, by the way.
Yeah.
So if you're bored listening to this, you should turn it off. But we're going to keep talking about triathlon. I don't know if I'll talk about triathlon with every guest on my show, but it's such a wonderful opportunity. And Lori also loves the theater.
I do.
So what are some, since we're talking about theater, what are some plays that you're looking forward to dragging me to this year?
I don't normally like straight plays. I really like things with music.
Oh, right. And musical theater.
I know.
Sorry.
But I have heard amazing things about the production of Valeria, which is at the Public Theater this year. And supposedly it's like a very immersive experience of like being in the room with a group of artists set in the 50s who are in the theater and who are like talking about making theater. So for me, it kind of brings me back to the days when Michael Bennett was working with Joseph Papp and they were developing a Chorus Line, which, you know, I think was one of the pinnacles of American theater in New York. And that's
and so you were as a kid, you were an actor, dancer, singer. Now you still have an amazing voice.
Well, thank you.
Your
Marnie.
Acapella skills.
I had this great experience growing up in Syracuse, New York. I got to be in my first musical when I was 7 years old, and I totally caught the theater bug. I would do one or two productions a year. My parents would drag me around to all my dance classes. And then at like 8 o'clock at night, I'd go to rehearsals and I'd get out at midnight and I'd come home and go to sleep and wake up and go to school at 6 a.m. So it was like a pretty awesome life for a kid. And I did that all the way through high school. And then decided that I needed to get a serious education. And so I quit dancing and quit doing the theater. And I went and got a liberal arts degree and spent a lot of time in the library. And then when I was in graduate school, which was just a few years later, I was so stressed out. And I'm like, you know what? I just need to do what I love. And so back to my hometown during the summer, they were putting on a production of A Chorus Line and I landed the role of Cassie. And that was like one of the best summers of my life. I had like such a fun time working with Mitzi Hamilton, who played Val and was the original character for Val on Broadway and was good friends with Michael Bennett and would tell us all the old stories. So yeah, I had a really, really amazing childhood and like young adult life. And then I came to New York and I just enjoy other people making theater. And I...
What were you doing your graduate degree in?
Yeah.
And so if I don't know.
Yeah. So this is totally what happens when you are the daughter of an engineer and you want to be an actress, you become an architect.
Something creative.
Exactly. Creative.
That involves technical skills.
Involves technical skills. So that's how I have put my creative juices to work. Running and triathlon, like that was never, ever, ever part of my identity growing up or as a young or even middle adult. I always admired athletes and I was like, wait, let's see if I can do this.
Is it true that you have Hamilton on your playlist and that's what you listen to when you run?
Yeah. I mean, I'm very, very picky about what constitutes a musical. So I have a select group of musicals that are on my playlist. Like, number one, it needs to actually have original music that was written as part of the score for the musical. Like, it can't be popular music that then somebody decided that they wanted to turn into a musical. So I have Hamilton, I have Miss Saigon, I have Dear Evan Hansen, which is like definitely one of my favorites. I have Spring Awakening, which is another favorite. And then the one I would say kind of exception to the rule is American Idiot by Green Day, which they actually wrote the music and then it became a musical, but the score is performed in the order that the songs are written on the original album. So I kind of give that a pass. And that is actually my Race album. There is something about the beat and it's like a little bit grungy badass. And yeah, I totally rock out to that song on the half marathons.
My playlist is all like EDM.
Yeah, la, 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 la,
like
la, la.
The same like crazy, I don't even know the names of half the artists. Marcus Schultz. I can look it up for a future podcast when I talk about my music obsession. But you can't use music in triathlon.
You can't. So I sing.
You sing while you're running?
I do. I sing in my
head. This explains everything to me, by the way. Like, you're listening to show tunes while you're running.
Yeah.
And you're doing like an 11, 12 minute mile. And then you're also like singing while you're running.
Yeah. And you have like jello brain. So as you know, like when you're racing, like you can't think about anything. Like you're a little slow.
What? So I think about everything when I'm on my bike.
Well, see, this is what I said. We're very different racers.
Okay.
So my head just like goes like jello. And so I can only remember like songs that I learned before I was probably 13. I sing the entire soundtrack of Annie, the musical while I'm racing because those songs I know by heart. It's sad.
It's but, hysterical.
You know, that's you've got to like, you have to keep yourself occupied. I mean, that's the thing, right? You're racing for seven, for me, like this race was 7 hours and 40 minutes. Like, what are you going to think about?
Could you imagine
other
doing
than the
an
fact
Ironman?
That you're like too cold or too hot or uncomfortable or like, can I imagine doing Ironman? I can imagine doing anything. After finishing the half, I would say like in the moment that you've just finished the half, you're like, I can't imagine running one more mile, being on the bike one more mile, right? But you can train for anything.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah, 100%.
Like, you can train for anything. If I really set that as a goal, I'm sure I'd be able to accomplish it. But yeah, definitely so much of it is mental.
I completely agree. And so now, speaking about racing.
What races do we want to do?
Yeah.
We keep coming back to this question.
I went through the Ironman
yeah.
website.
We debated Boulder last year, and we chose Coeur d'Alene, which we actually didn't end up doing because of...
I'm so glad we didn't end up doing that.
Circumstances.
Work.
Yes.
Work came in the way of my side hustle.
Yes.
Known as triathlon, exactly. Where I'm accused daily of not working, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm working. Yeah. I didn't do that race.
So Marnie got an awesome client and it demanded our being here. And that's the name of the game. If we have work, that's
the priority.
Our first priority. Races come second. So we didn't do Coeur d'Alene. And because we had planned to do Coeur d'Alene, we didn't do Boulder. I feel like Boulder would be a really interesting race. I think there's always a challenge.
Right. So that would be the altitude would be the big challenge.
Yeah. So it's like, how long do we have to go in advance to really feel like we can race strong and not be suffering from, you know, either altitude sickness or just like the performance deficit that comes from changing altitude.
But that also leads me to the topic of vacation.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is like, I think before I met you, I don't think I really ever went on vacation. I think all I did was work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you introduced this whole new concept to me, which was going on vacation for like a swim clinic.
I know.
And I mean, I had always kind of like thought about, you know, doing a bike ride through Spain or things like that. But that was kind of exciting. And it's a new path to explore. But I do like these racecations.
Yeah. I mean, I've always valued vacation just because like work hard, play hard. I mean, we work very hard and I think it's really hard to take a break from work. And so for me, as much as I love going to a beach and doing nothing, and believe me, like I would be totally happy going to a beach and reading a book. I feel like I'm in a place in my career where it's really hard to shut off. I'm just giving into that and accepting that if I'm going to go on a vacation, it has to be something equally active and compelling that takes my mental focus. Triathlon does that. We did that awesome swim clinic and then raced the St. Croix mile
race,
which was amazing. Totally amazing. I'd love to do like a big long bike ride through Ireland.
I'd love to do the Tour de France, like part of that course.
Yes, yes. Marnie likes hills. Absolutely. You want to do Tour de France.
Just like one part. 100 miles.
Totally.
Century.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I would probably pick like Aix-en-Provence or somewhere with good wine, good food.
Because
I also
so
really
much.
Like eating.
Oh, yeah. So nutrition. Yeah. I'm so thankful that you like food and eating and you're such a talented cook.
Oh, well, thank you. It's the Italian in me. Always just really liked food. My mom is a really great cook and my grandmother was a great cook and she is not my mother's mother. So I had like good cooks on both sides of the family. So we have like lots of great family recipes. Then I think this is also for me a very creative outlet is
right.
Especially because anybody who comes to our house knows that we have some food limitations. Let's just say there are certain
foods. But we've reinvented and like retooled.
Well, that's the awesome thing. So like
I can't eat anything.
We don't need tomatoes, which is a total bummer because there's a lot of really great foods that call for tomatoes. So what have I spent my year doing? Figuring out how to make tomato sauce without tomatoes.
Which is going to launch.
Which is
and we'll have a separate podcast about Lori's special tomato-free tomato sauce.
Back to
tomato-free tomato sauce.
Where are we doing races? So what do you think about Boulder? Do you think it's on the list or not?
Yeah. I mean, I heard that the swim is warmer than other swims. So that's my thing this year.
Yeah.
I know what I'm looking for is impossible, and that's the nature of my existence, but I find ways to find the impossible. Yes. And make it work, right? I think that what I like ideally is like 70 degree water, 60 to 75, 80, even 90 degree weather.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't mind the heat. I just, I hate being cold. I just have been looking into a lot of these races. And then the other problem is that I'm also not a fan of big waves. So basically, I should just stick to running. But I'm going to keep this triathlon thing going. I'm going to train for it though this year. So last year, we start our season every year with Quasi, which is in Connecticut, and it's in this Great Lake.
But not one of the Great Lakes.
Not one of the Great Lakes. No, but the lake is great. Just to be clear. So cold this year. It was like 50 degrees in the water.
It was.
I did not train for Alcatraz.
So this is the thing. And like you chose to opt out of that swim because that race, because you could. And we do this because it's fun. And you could still do the bike and the run, which meant that like not excited to jump in the water. It was really cold. But there was something that happened when I jumped in that water and I had the best swim of my life at Quasi. There was something about the cold, and maybe it was the same thing as like what I like about skiing, is it like totally relaxed me. What I thought and like all of my fears about it went right away as soon as I started swimming. And yeah, like my feet were numb and my feet didn't thaw until like mile three of the run.
Oh my God, really? Yeah. This was an Olympic distance.
Yeah, it was Olympic distance. It was short, but my feet were frozen pretty much the entire bike. And then when I started running, like I really couldn't even feel my toes. And then about mile three, which is like halfway into the run, I started feeling back in my feet again. But for me, it's like landscape. The beauty of the course is what attracts me. So like, I want to go somewhere pretty. The elements, I feel like you cannot predict it. There's always something that's part of the challenge.
Yeah, like picking a race in Austin, thinking it was going to be hot.
Yeah, right?
And then you get there and it's like 40 degrees. You kept wishing something.
Oh, I kept praying to the Italian gods that it wasn't going to be
canceled.
That it would be not canceled.
The swim. And I was praying that it would be canceled.
And Marnie was praying that it would be canceled. And I'm like, you know, sorry, but the Italian God is always stronger than the Jewish God. I'll stop praying. And then, you know, maybe yours will go through.
Yeah, that didn't work out.
No.
I didn't pray hard enough.
No.
So what is your favorite post-race recovery meal?
Well, so I think you know my favorite post-race recovery meal because I pretty much forced you when you were like violently ill to go and
so
eat with me.
I was so sick. You made me sit in a restaurant. I was going to throw up.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to die and you didn't even care.
It was mean and awful, but I needed my huevo rancheros.
That's your recovery food.
That is my recovery food.
But it's like you completely ignored the fact that I was so sick.
I was like, it's okay.
And you're just like, you'll be fine.
Like, you'll be fine. Like, just lay in the car for a couple.
You totally told
me. It'll only take me like 30 minutes to eat the food. It's okay.
So mad.
Yeah, huevos rancheros. Like, pretty much, and this is also the whole tomato thing, which couldn't be more disturbing to me. I could live in Mexico and I could eat Mexican food like pretty much every day of the week. And especially, I feel like it's such good food for training, for fueling. I have a similarly equal feeling about Indian food.
I love Indian food.
I think incorporated into our weekly menu of food is like pretty much global themes. We do Mexican always on Tuesday because Elle demands that we do Taco Tuesday.
But it's usually like quinoa, lentils, rice, beans.
Yeah. Yep. Lots of like whole grains, but not gluten. Then a lot of like, we just can't eat enough vegetables. Like
kale.
I think that's our philosophy.
Kale.
We love kale.
Sweet potatoes.
Kale. We definitely sweet potatoes. And adding the sweet potatoes into the tacos, that's good. That was a good hack the other night.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. We were out of rice. Yeah. I know you don't remember. Avocados. Yeah. You put avocados and sweet potatoes in your tacos with black beans.
I will eat any combination of food that includes avocados. avocados, sweet potatoes, black beans.
So we've got that. We've got our kind of Indian-inspired dish that has this amazing coconut curry sauce that we pretty much eat like once a week.
Yum. Yum. I think that's a good segue to say ciao, because we're heading to dinner.
Not only is this your first podcast, and once again, I feel quite honored to be your first guest, but today's a very special day.
Yeah,
your audience tonight. Yeah, today is Marnie's birthday, and it is the second coming of her 23rd birthday.
I feel 23.
She's like forever 23.
Yeah, yeah. Love it. This is 46.
Yeah.
Over and out, people. Okay, it's a wrap. Episode 1, Marnie on the Move. I really hope you enjoyed listening. Please tell your friends to tune in, share on social, follow me on Instagram at Marnie Salop, and on Facebook, Marnie on the Move. I will also be adding to our show notes any links or references to topics we discussed today, which will be on our website, MarnieOnTheMove.com. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Over and out.